It's time now for Dial a Doc, and today joining us, Tracy Love, CNL, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator. Good morning, Tracy. How are you today?
I'm well. Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. Help me out here. MSN, RN, and CNL. What do those all stand for?
Oh, MSN is my Master's of Science in Nursing. I'm a registered nurse here at FHN Hospital, and I have a certificate as a clinical nurse leader.
And stroke program coordinator. Lots of stuff. You're a busy lady, aren't you?
I am. Thank you.
May is Stroke Awareness Month, and we hear a lot about stroke and stroke prevention in the media. Would you define what a stroke actually is?
Sure. There's two different types of stroke. So stroke means that there's been a sudden, basically, blockage in the blood flow. It can happen in two different ways. It's blood flow into the brain, and it can either happen by a clot that builds up within a blood vessel in the brain. And just like if you think about plumbing, you know, if something gets stuck and it plugs, there's no downstream flow. Well, in the brain, you can have a clot that builds up in the brain and sticks, and then there's no blood flow that goes down past that clot. That's the most common type of stroke. We call that an ischemic stroke, but it's about 85% of all strokes is a clot. Then the other type of stroke, which is less common, is where the pipe actually can burst. So if you think of the blood vessels in your brain, it's where the blood vessel actually opens up and bursts and blood leaks out of the vessel, and that's called a hemorrhagic stroke. Less common, but also a very serious condition.
Now, it's good news that stroke is now the fifth leading cause of death in the United States rather than the fourth. It's moved down one. What's contributed to it's going down on this list?
I think it's really gone down a lot over the past several years because there's been such national media and local media attention to it, you know, really trying to get the information out on what the signs and symptoms of a stroke are, letting people in our communities around the country know that there are better treatments out there if you're able to get to a hospital in time. A lot of treatments for stroke are very time sensitive, but I know within our communities, you know, we're always constantly trying to get information out to everyone on what signs and symptoms of stroke are, how to spot one, and then how to get into a hospital rapidly for treatment.
Now, TIA, what is TIA and how is it different?
So a TIA is what we call a transient ischemic attack, and what a lot of people know it as is a mini stroke. So a lot of times somebody's going to tell you they've had a mini stroke in the past, and that's typically what they're talking about is a TIA. A TIA versus a stroke, the signs and symptoms are exactly the same. But what happens with the mini stroke is that the symptoms will start to get better. What we used to say years ago was within 24 hours they would get better. We would say, oh, it was a TIA, not a stroke. But what we know now with all the new scanning with MRIs, we know that most of the time these mini strokes are going to last only about 60 minutes, sometimes even only 30 minutes. I've seen a lot of patients who their symptoms are getting better before they even get to the hospital. But we still tell everybody it's still really, really important that you get into the hospital and get it treated because you don't know which one you're having, if it's going to get better or if you're having a full-blown stroke, because the symptoms are exactly the same. And even if you are having just a mini stroke, it's still a good time to come in because we need to make sure that we get the right prevention on board so that you don't have a full-blown stroke in your lifetime.
Now, you brought up symptoms. What are symptoms of a stroke that a person would notice either in themselves or in someone else?
So, you know, the term BFAST. We used to say FAST for face, arm, speech, and time, but now we're starting to say to be fast. And the B stands for balance. So it's where the person may have a sudden loss of balance or coordination. So if somebody, and all the stroke symptoms are going to come on suddenly. These aren't things that are going to come on gradually over time. It's usually, I was fine, and now I'm not. So it's any real sudden loss of balance or feeling like they're dizzy or they just can't move properly. Have the patient, you know, with their eyes, the E stands for eyes, are they having a double vision? Are they unable to see out of one eye? Have they completely lost their sight in one eye? And then you have, you know, go to look at the face. Do they have one side of the face drooping? And a way to know that is ask somebody to smile or show you their teeth. And if you can see more teeth on one side than the other, you know, they probably are having a significant facial droop, and that can be a positive symptom as well. Or have them put their arms out in front of them. You know, can they not, is one arm not able to be lifted, or does it kind of go up and then it droops down really quickly, weak on one side? And then the S is for speech. So have somebody repeat a sentence. Are they having slurred speech, or can they not say a simple sentence? You know, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. If they can't get those words out correctly, that also could be a sign of a stroke. Any one of those is a possible stroke. And then the T stands for time. You need to get the person to the hospital right away. I tell people when I do a lot of public talking too, don't call your daughter and say, oh, come and pick me up, or think, oh, my symptoms will get better, I'm going to go lay down for a little bit and see how they are. Any of these symptoms really is a medical emergency, and you need to get to a hospital right away. And I always recommend calling 911 to get to the hospital immediately.
Now, if you are alone, does someone having a stroke realize what's going on? Is their mind completely sharp, and is more their body that's not functioning correctly? Or do they notice it as quick as someone else, I guess I should say?
You know, and it's very, that's hard to say because it's very case by case, but a lot of people are aware. Yeah, no, a lot of people are aware that they're having a stroke. And again, if you're, you know, sitting around the house and all of a sudden you realize you can't move your arm, or you feel like you're having a hard time seeing or walking, any of those symptoms, you still need to try to call 911 as soon as possible.
All right. And you kind of already covered the acronym for how to do a quick check, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We hear that it's really important to get a stroke victim to the ER as quickly as possible. And you kind of explained that, but maybe again, why is that?
So we have a lot of treatments. Well, we have quite a few treatments out there now that are very, very time sensitive. You know, years ago, we just didn't have the treatment capability. So if somebody had a stroke, our biggest concern was how do we take care of them in that critical phase and then just get them into a rehab to help them get better with their disability. Nowadays, we don't think that way at all. Nowadays, we have treatments based on how fast you get into the hospital, meaning from the last time you were seen okay. So our time clock starts from the last time somebody saw you perfectly normal, or you know you were perfectly normal, to when your symptoms started. So that's our time window. And if someone can get to the hospital from the time, you know, that we know when they were last okay, within 3 to 4.5 hours of that time, we have a medication that we can give somebody that can break the clot up. Now, this is for the type of stroke that's a clot, that's the ischemic stroke. We have medications that if you qualify for it, we can give it to you through your veins and it can break that clot up. If you're outside of those windows, or if you're having a bigger stroke, we also have the capability of sending people to what we call comprehensive stroke centers. And these are larger hospitals that also have the ability to go in, similar to going to a cath lab for your heart, to go in and actually remove those clots from the brain. So there's, and that sometimes can go up to 16 to 24 hours. So there's a lot more, you know, treatments for patients who have the clot type stroke. Any patient who has the vessel that breaks in their brain and has a hemorrhagic stroke, you have to get to the hospital right away, because those are patients who definitely are going to need potentially surgery to fix that bleeding area. But our if people recognize the stroke fast enough and get to a hospital fast enough, we have more options than we did even 10 or 20 years ago.
And that speed that they get to the hospital is huge, is it not?
Absolutely. That's why I say 911, don't even waste time waiting for somebody to pick you up, because for every minute that the brain doesn't get enough blood flow or oxygen to it, 2 million brain cells die.
Wow. Now, what causes strokes? And then what can people do to help prevent strokes?
That's a really good question, because if you haven't had a stroke, it's always good to know what your numbers are and how to prevent one. So some of the biggest issues out there that can lead you up to having a stroke are things such as high blood pressure, diabetes. If somebody has atrial fibrillation, which is where the top two chambers of the heart quiver rather than contracting well, they can get clots that build up. Those are some of the big things. High cholesterol, being overweight, obesity. Those are things that really lead up to potentially having a stroke. Those are what we call big risk factors, especially high blood pressure. High blood pressure is probably the single biggest risk factor for somebody to potentially have a stroke. So I always say it's getting to know your numbers. If you're out, you know, check your blood pressure. Even if you're at a local drugstore who has a blood pressure machine, they're not 100%, but it'll give you a good idea. And then if you notice that you're high, you should be going in to see your doctor, to see your provider. I always recommend having your providers, you know, going to see them regularly so that you can keep track of your blood pressure, of your heart, of your diabetes and cholesterol, so that you're making sure that if anything changes, that you can get appropriate treatments to treat those conditions to prevent a stroke from happening.
You're listening to Dial a Doc. We're visiting today with Tracy Love, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator. And Tracy, family history, is that does that play a fair part in this, or is it more your body type and your blood pressure and that type of thing? Or if you've had ancestors that have had strokes, should you get checked sooner than later?
Yes. So actually, family history, that's a very good point. That plays a big part, too. It's usually immediate family. So if a mother, father, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa. So it's close, immediate family. If anyone of them has had a stroke, that automatically, unfortunately, puts you at a higher risk of having a stroke as well, because we start to wonder if there's something, you know, in the family, if something familial genetically. So, yeah, if you have one of your closest relatives who have had a stroke, that also can put you at higher risk.
One more question, too. Age, if you've had a family history of that, should you be going in sooner, like in your 20s, or is this something that would happen later in life?
You know, typically what we say is that stroke starts, you become higher risk at age 55, and then for every decade over 55, your risk goes up. So at 65, it goes up, 75, it goes up. So it keeps going up the older we get. But I can't say I haven't seen people who've had strokes in their 30s and 40s. And that also comes down to your risk factors of having controlled blood pressure, controlled diabetes. So, again, I think it's really knowing your body and working with your providers to make sure that if you have any of those risk factors, you're staying on top of them.
All right. Now, the ER at FHN has some sophisticated equipment to help stroke victims. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We do. We actually, back in 2013, we have a robot that we have within the emergency department. We use it throughout the hospital. If a patient had a stroke in our inpatient area, we would take the robot to them, but we keep it in the emergency room because most of our strokes are going to come through our emergency department. And what this robot does is we are able to take it into the room. It has a two-way camera on it. So we have neurologists from around the country, from Rush, from Yale, from other hospitals, Cleveland Clinic, from other hospitals around the country with neuro expertise who are able to beam in, and they work with our doctors and our nurses and our patients here in the department and are able to help us really focus in on the stroke, you know, giving us recommendations for treatments, for other testing, and then determining what the best course of action is for the patient. And our patients really have really seemed to really embrace this. Because it sounds like it's almost intimidating because you have this robot come in, but it's really not. It's just a screen. We see our providers from the shoulders up, and they just do a wonderful job of really talking with our doctors, talking with our nurses and our patients, and then everybody working together to come up with the best treatment plan for that patient.
Now, Tracy, FHN Memorial Hospital has received several designations as a stroke-ready hospital, including one late last year that's really quite an achievement. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We did. So we have always used a program called Get With The Guidelines Stroke through the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, for checking our quality data within our hospital and our emergency department on how well we take care of our stroke patients. And last year, we were awarded the Gold Plus Award for quality in our stroke measures here at the hospital, which was really exciting. There's seven core measures that you have to meet that are evidence-based practice guidelines that every hospital should be doing for their stroke patients. So we met all of those measures at 85% or higher. And then to get the plus part of it, that's the gold. And then to get the plus part of it, we were able to meet an extra five measures on top of that at 75% at higher. That really shows the quality of work we're doing here at our hospitals. And to get the gold, we had to maintain that for over 2 years.
Well, congratulations. How can someone get in touch with you to speak to their organizations about stroke prevention and treatment, or maybe to get more information about strokes in general?
Definitely. I'd love to go out and do public speaking for anyone who's interested, because I'm very passionate about talking about stroke. They can go ahead and get a hold of me at the hospital. You can call our number at 815-599-6000, and you can just ask for Tracy Love, the stroke coordinator, or you can also get a hold of us at www.fhn.org.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Tracy Love, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator on Dial-A-Doc today. Tracy, very interesting. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
You're very welcome. And that's Dial-A-Doc. The proceeding has been brought to you by FHN.